We have these sacred stories, and sometimes our reaction to them is irritation. Why do we still read these stories after 2,000 years that need oodles and oodles of context and interpretation? And to relate them to our daily lives so they're understandable. However, in 1 Peter, we read about human experiences such as a nursing, God as a nursing mother, and metaphors of building, cornerstones, living stones. And these are alive in 2023 as much as they were 2,000 years ago, even as they were in about 62 or so of the Common Era when 1 Peter was written. This letter, 1 Peter, was written to Christians in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, who were experiencing persecution. They were in small communities, but ones that nonetheless were under the thumb of Rome. I believe the writer, who came from the school of Paul, it was certainly considered Pauline, like Paul in its way of being written, I believe this writer knows their fears and wants to support and anchor the community, which was really distant from Jerusalem and from Rome. I want to say that the context is not exactly like our own, but it is like our own in sort of an opposite way. We as a church are not being persecuted, but in fact, we are being ignored by much of our culture. It's its own kind of persecution, at least from my point of view as a pastor, it feels that way. This tends to stimulate in us deep reflection over our identity. Why are we being ignored? I hope this passage might resonate and inspire us. The part of this passage that is less alive for me than the others are the exhortations, telling us what to do. For instance, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But here are the parts that feel very alive for me. We are like newborn infants who long for pure spiritual milk, so that we can grow into something called salvation. And that salvation, in fact, is tasting that the Lord is good. God is likened to a nursing mother providing what is essential for a baby, and it is good. Now, for some of us who nursed for 6 months or 12 months or maybe relied on formula, to us this image may lack impact. But because breast milk is so nutritious and was the only option most of the time, some children nursed for 3 or more years. Just take that in for a minute. A 3-year-old or 4-year-old nursing. So the metaphor of God nursing a people helps us see that God is foundational for our health and well-being in an ongoing way. It's not possible to parent without experiencing some risk, some weakness, some pain and transformation. And God here is likened to this parent who is present in our risk-taking, in our weakness, our pain, and in our transformation. These words in 1 Peter are likely taken from Psalm 34. The rest of the scripture reading is full of allusions to other Hebrew Bible readings also, in Psalms, in Isaiah, and in Hosea. The writer is saying, even though you people out there in Asia Minor who are being persecuted are sort of this newly formed band of Christians, your roots of being God's people go back centuries. These Christians may be in rural Asia Minor, but they are called to be pillars of faith, spiritual stones built into a spiritual house, becoming a royal priesthood, a community, with a foundation in the Psalms, Isaiah, Hosea, and in Jesus. You, and that includes all of us, are a chosen people in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. The hearers of this letter were today, I mean, if you go Jerusalem to Istanbul in a car, it's about 21 hours, I looked it up. So anywhere in Turkey, which is pretty much straight north of Jerusalem and northeast of Rome, that's a long way. These people were in rural outposts. And the hearers of this letter could probably never imagine themselves a royal anything, let alone a priesthood, learned, studied, and capable. I just want to pause for a moment and think of all the people in our society today who are not able to consider themselves learned, priesthood, capable, and yet this message is for them too. How are we going to reach people so everybody knows they are part of this priesthood? Learned, studied, and capable. And here is someone in the author of 1 Peter telling them that they are. They are a nascent community, one blessed by God. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you know and have received mercy. It's a powerful message. So at Three Crosses, we are asking, who are we becoming? Maybe a little bit like the people in Asia Minor 2,000 years ago. We are in Old Town, but it sometimes feels like an outpost of Asia Minor sometimes. Who are we? And who might we become? We are exploring this and will continue to in the next couple of months. All Christians are on a journey. It is a journey to a place where we seek to find meaning in life, to a place where we can know God. It is a journey away from the place where we think of ourselves first, which is a default, I think, for all humans, to a place where we can both value ourselves and our human needs and fully offer ourselves to others too. This is a lifelong journey. Christianity does not ask any of us to deny who we are, nor does it invite us to sacrifice something of who we are as whole human beings. But instead, it is about living and leaning in to fully who we are becoming. We are asked as Christians to move outside of ourselves as the center and consider that God's image is in every person. God's will is for humans and for creation, for all of us to live in harmony. So if we make a choice to let go of something precious and give it away, we are not denying ourselves, but choosing what is going to bring more light and life to ourselves and others. If we prioritize church and work for justice, for instance, or we serve by watering plants or playing an instrument or gardening, we are not sacrificing our Tuesday evening or Saturday morning or Sunday morning, but we are living into God's call for us to be part of something bigger than ourselves, something eternal. I believe all of us are on this journey for the duration of our lives. John Muir lived in the 1800s. Many of you probably recognize his name from Muir Woods in San Francisco. Anybody been there? A lot of us have. Just a beautiful place of old growth trees and peace. He was a very talented young man who imagined ways to solve problems. He invented and built many things, from barometers to thermometers, even an elaborate clock that told the day of the week, the month, and this clock was connected to a bed that set him on his feet at the appointed time, way ahead of his time. After college, he was working in a wagon wheel shop and had a terrible accident that left him blind. He didn't know if he would ever see again. He was very lucky that his blindness only lasted 6 weeks. When his sight did return, he realized how important the beautiful world was to him. And he wrote, quote, "It was from this time that I was determined to devote the rest of my life to the study of the inventions of God." The inventions of God. Muir essentially left behind him what had been most meaningful to him, all the inventing that he had done, and he redirected his life. As you probably know, he went on to become one of the most important naturalists and conservationists in American history. He founded the Sierra Club. He helped to fight to protect wilderness areas, especially the area around Yosemite Valley, the Sierra Nevada Mountains. From a Christian perspective, Muir did not make a sacrifice of his love of inventing. And he was not untrue to who he was, but in fact, he was more true to himself because he was following this new calling. I am confident all of us are on the path to listening how God is calling us to discover our passions and talents and all that we have to give the world. A calling not only to fulfill ourselves, but a calling that means caring for others and reducing suffering in the world, in our community, caring for, as Muir said, the inventions of God. Three Crosses is now, we're at a crossroads. Crosses at a crossroads. Not unlike the Christians in Asia Minor, not unlike Muir, listening for God calling to us. In the next weeks, ours will be a journey of growing and discernment, discerning how we are living stones and what we are building. It may seem at times like we, the church, we are irrelevant, but I trust that the online world of overwhelming amounts of information is not what makes us whole. It's helpful sometimes, but I trust that overwhelm is not what makes us whole humans, not what builds strong social networks. We are learning how to be an in-person community, again, even right here, as so many churches are, who were not able to meet in person for a couple of years. We are learning how to meet for worship and how to help heal the world together. And I trust with my whole heart there are others who wish to join us.